You have the Bibles, you want to turn there, you want to turn to Revelation chapter one. We'll begin reading verse 11, we'll read it, our God. Jesus, if he was to write a letter with his evaluation of our church, what do you think he would say? What might he be pleased with? What sins might he point out? Sobering thoughts, huh? Particularly since we know that Jesus knows everything about us.
That's right.
Jesus is described in these scriptures as one who sees all, one who has his eyes on everything. In Daniel chapter 7, you don't have to turn here, but you may want to write down this passage of scripture. Daniel chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. We see a vision, Daniel's vision, of the beast, but we also see his vision of the ancients of day, the Son of Man. Now notice this. He says, as I kept watching, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white like snow. His hair, the hair of his head, like whitest wool. His throne was flaming fire. Its wheels were blazing fire. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from his presence. Thousands upon thousands served him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was convened. The books were open. Sobering thoughts, huh? When we think about the fact that Jesus is described as one who has feet like bronze, he's radiating light. In these next two chapters of Revelation, we're going to see how Jesus evaluated seven churches, how he saw them. These seven churches existed in Asia in the first century. But his words don't simply apply to those churches in the past. They are intended for the churches today. They're intended for those of us who are Christians in every age. Because here we find that Jesus commends, that Jesus rebukes, that he commands, that he warns, that he rewards. This is for his church. So all that his people will preserve in faith to the very end. We'll talk about all this next week. But today we're going to conclude the latter part of chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. And I want you to read with me, if you'll stand at the reading of God's word. And we'll read verse 11 to start with. Write on the scroll what you see. Send it to the seven churches. And therefore write what you see, what is, and what will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and of the seven golden lampstands in this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands the seven churches. Father, we're going to talk about the indestructible church. And I pray, Father, that you will help us to understand today that you're writing to us and you're commending us and you're warning us. You're challenging us. You're asking us to persevere. And so, Lord, I pray that we will hang in with you. That, Lord, you will hear, that we will hear you speak to us from the very throne room of glory. Hide me, Lord, behind the cross of Calvary. Let your words, let these words be your words. Let us see into the very throne room of glory as John did. And may we, Father, be moved as John was. Use us, Father. In It's in your name that we pray. We all say. You may be seated. The point of a lampstand is a bright light. So we have in this section of scripture, as we looked last week and as we looked this week, we see the churches, we see the lampstands, we see the stars. Here, my friends, is a picture of what we see in Isaiah chapter 43 and chapter 44. In 43, verse 10 and 12, the scripture says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am the Lord, and besides thee there is no Savior. You are my witnesses." So see it. This is Jesus. Jesus in the middle of these churches. Jesus in the churches that are suffering, hurting, and struggling. And as I said, we're going to apply this to the churches today, not just to the seven churches that existed in Asia at that time. We're talking about churches, millions of churches all around the world. Churches that are suffering, churches that are hurting, churches that are struggling. Are you with me yet? We have experienced suffering. We've experienced hurting. We've experienced struggling. And he's instructing the churches, these churches full of Christians, Christians who feel weak, feel vulnerable, feel scared. Aren't you there? John gives them a vision of Jesus. Jesus in the middle of the churches. Jesus holding on to them. Jesus guarding them. Jesus enabling them to shine as light in the middle of darkness. We find that picture. Jesus holding them in his right hand. His hand of authority. His hand where he possesses these churches, where he protects these churches in the midst of all that they're going through. And he's using these churches for a purpose. Get that. He's not just holding them and keeping that light hidden. He's giving them power, empowering them to light up the world. So this morning, that's the church we want to talk about. I want to draw your attention, if I can, in the next few moments, to the indestructible church. Last week, we looked at the indescribable Christ. And in doing so, we see that in Daniel chapter 7. We see that in the first part of the section of Scripture, verses 9 through 20. We see that Jesus is, it's hard to explain him. But yet now, we talk about an indestructible church. And we're talking about an indescribable Christ in the middle of an indestructible church. And I want to say to you, my friends, with all honesty, as long as this Christ is in the middle of his church, then nothing, no matter how fierce, no matter how awful, no matter how destructive it is, can destroy his people. There is nothing that can destroy his people. This is the way you and I need to apply this text to our church today, to the church that stands in this room. For we are his lampstands. And he is with us as we, the lampstands, walk through all kinds of things this morning. All kinds of suffering, all kinds of struggles. They're all represented in this room today. If any of you are not struggling with something, would you please raise your hand and testify this morning? See, I knew that was going to happen. Debbie, I knew that there was not a person going to move because we're all struggling. We have struggles with sin. We have struggles with sorrow. We have struggles with pain in our lives. All kinds of struggles. Yet we are, as a church, on mission. We're gathered here this morning to be scattered into a hurting world each week. Hurting people, helping hurting people, because we've got a Jesus, a Savior who's in the middle of us. Come with me this morning. Come with me and see this Jesus. This Jesus who's fully man. This Jesus who is fully God. See Jesus. See Jesus. He's the fulfillment of the prophecy. See him, my friend. See Jesus. See Jesus because he's the final high priest. See him. See him because he's infinitely old and infinitely wise. He's with knowledge of all things. See Jesus. He's the holiest above all things. See Jesus. see Jesus, but also hear him. Hear his voice. His voice resounding with authority. His face radiating with light. As you see these churches called out, and each of them receiving an individual letter to be read before the congregation. There's a phrase that you'll find in every one of these churches. And the phrase is, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. My friends, I want you to know we need to hear the resounding authority. We need to see his radiating light. He is the one who had the first word in creation, and he is the one who will have the last word in creation. He is the one that was dead for a time, and he's the one now that's alive for Amen. All time. Amen. My friends, he is the one who controls death, to whom no one or nothing can compare. He is, as we've said, the indescribable Christ, and he's present among us. He is in this place today. You need to see him. You need to hear him. You need to feel him. Realize who he is. Realize the wonder of who he is, because Jesus is standing among us. Jesus is not some distant persona, somewhere up in the universe that we talk to through our powerful phone of prayer. No, my friends, he is with us. He is not distant from us. He is right up beside us. He is not just over us. He is the one who is in the middle of us as we gather here in this place today. The psalm says, I sense an awesome moving of the Holy Spirit, and I see his countenance resting on your face. I do. And I know that there are angels hovering all around us, for the presence of the Lord is in this place. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. Come and touch him. You will never be the same. I searched for peace, the song says. I searched for peace among the shadows, dark and lonely. I gave up on finding that strong and lasting love. I tasted all the things that sin could give. But today, I feast on that. From above, he is. This Jesus is here on this Lord's Day. He is in this house, and he is giving to us an important consideration. Listen, my friends, this scripture tells us that he possesses us. Consider that, my friends. He is holding us in his hand. We belong to him.
That's right.
Rockford Church, hear me, please. Hear me with clarity. We are in the grip of his gracious governance. He is our Lord. Say it with me. He is my Lord. He protects us. Jesus not only possesses us, but he protects us. He guards us. He guides us. You can see and feel his protecting power even today in this world of sin and suffering. When you reach out and you see, you reach out into darkness, there's the light around you, but you reach out into that darkness, you can feel the tremors of that darkness in your hands. You can feel it in your heart as your heart thunders out of your chest. You know that you are in a very difficult situation. But I'm here to tell you today, right here in this place, from this platform, on this corner in Rockford, Alabama, I will tell you the truth. Jesus Christ protects you.
Come on.
All evil can come against you, but Jesus will protect you. Remember, the evil one cannot have you. You do not belong to him. Jesus calls you by your name, but the devil calls you by your sin. And you need to hold on to the precious protecting hand of God. Here's the third thing. Jesus has a purpose for us. We see it right here in the scripture. Jesus is the one who shines out and stands among us. And his purpose is that you and I will shine out there. that we will shine His light here on this corner and around the world, that we will be a witness, a testimony of Jesus Christ. We have a group of people who will be leaving in just a couple of weeks to go to Alaska. They'll be going there to help a church and to repair it, but they're also going to be working the neighborhoods and working the community and going to the parks. They're going to be sharing Jesus. They're going to be sharing the light of Jesus Christ. Guess where they're from? Little bitty old Coos County. Ain't nothing good comes from Coos County. Ain't nobody can go from Coos County to the rest of the world. Yes, they can. They're going to Alaska. We have missionaries all around the world, and you, through your gifts to this church, help support those missionaries, both in America and around the world, around the globe. And guess what? It's because of you that they're able to shine the light of Jesus Christ, because you're sharing light through your monetary gifts so that they may light up the dark recesses of the world, in the Philippines, in South America, in Japan, in Laos. Oh, we have a missionary in Laos. Did you know that? Jimmy Crouch, y'all remember him?
Oh, yeah.
That tall, skinny guy that was always talking about eating bugs. Jimmy, if you're listening, I just want to tell you, you have caused me more grief in that discussion of bugs than anything else. I know y'all eat bugs in foreign lands, but in America, we don't eat bugs. Unless you're one of the teenagers and you eat crickets, grasshoppers, or whatever it was. No. He would talk about it at mealtime. We'd be in the back lunch there eating. I mean, that hamburger was good, and then all of a sudden he'd start talking about bugs. Eating bugs. I'm like, come on, Jimmy, get real. I would put my burger down and walk away because it would unease my. I can see blood. I can talk about all that stuff. But when you start talking about eating bugs, forget it. I mean, it's kind of like eating snake. I mean, you tell me about possum, all those things. We're not going to do it. Jesus has a purpose for us. And the purpose is that we light up the world, that we share the message of Jesus Christ with the world. So you have an important consideration. You have, my friends, an identification of who Jesus is and who we are. But here's the inevitable commission. This is what will come from being Jesus. Hey, this is what will happen. When I come face to face with Him, when we hear Him, when we see Him, when we feel His presence, when we're sharing the light, good news of Jesus' lost world, the gospel message, we will do two things. We will fall down and worship. No commission is clear. We're to fall down and worship before the indescribable Christ. Because you see, there's a gulf and a grandeur. From the glory, there's a gulf that separates the grandeur and glory of God from us. And we fall on our face before God when we realize that. We fall on our face before God seeking His forgiveness, seeking redemption, seeking forgiveness. All of us need to understand that we have to keep that gap bridged. And the only bridge is Jesus Christ.
Right.
The one who stands among the lampstands. Light to these seven churches. You think I'm excited about those seven churches today? You just wait. Non-Christians, I just want to tell you, if you're not a Christian today, if you're not a believer, you need to have much fear. Much, much fear. And here's what I mean. If you're not a Christian, if you're not called out to God, or if you've not called out to God for forgiveness of your sins, if you've not turned from your sin, if you've not turned from your rebellion against God, if you've not confessed Jesus Christ as Savior and King and Lord of your life, then you have much reason for fear today. One day it could be too late. Even today it could be too late if you wait. Because you see, you're going to die. You're going to return to dust. Or He will return and He'll gather up those of us who aren't dusty yet.
Amen.
And you, my friend, will face Jesus Christ as judge. We as Christians will face Him as Jesus, as His Savior. But you're going to face Him as a judge. And you have much reason to fear. Because you're standing in sin. You're going to be standing in sin before God in judgment. So you turn from your sin today. You trust in Jesus Christ as the Savior who died on the cross for your sins. He is the one who rose from the grave for victory over sin. Do you in your heart know Him? If not, I urge you now. And when you do know Him, you can turn from sin. You can trust in Jesus Christ as King. And you can have no fear. Because my friend, you and I that are believers, we don't have to have anything.
That's right.
We don't have to lay our head down on the pillow tonight and be scared that we don't wake up in the morning. Because you see, absent from the body means present the Lord. That means that when we close our eyes here, we open our eyes in eternity. There's no fear in that. There's joy. There's victory. There's blessing. Why would we want to hang around this place when it was our time to go? Go! As my wife said to her mother, run, Ruby, run! Don't dread the day when you'll see Jesus' face. Anticipate that day. And know that today, that nothing can happen to you in this world that will ever separate you from Him.
Come on, come on.
So bow down. Fall down in worship. Bow down in worship. But hey, don't just bow down in worship. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up as a witness. We've got some Christians in our world today that don't blame me, sir. They're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. They sit on pews. They warm a pew. They sit in a classroom. And they sit there like a stone statue. They're too earthly good. They're too heavenly minded for earthly good. They're anticipating the return of Christ. And they're sitting there waiting. I've got my insurance paid, Brother Jeff. I don't have to worry about my fire insurance. Because you see, I've got Jesus, and that's all that matters. So I'm just waiting for that coming day. I'm waiting for Him to break the eastern sky. I'm waiting for Him to return. I'm waiting for the trumpet to sound. I'm waiting. Rise up! I said, rise up as a testimony of Jesus. He is with us. He possesses us. He protects us. He has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. He has a purpose for this church. So fall down in worship and then rise up as witnesses. Jesus said, John, rise up, write what you've seen. And obviously, we're not authoring a book. Obviously, we're not writing a biblical text today in this room, but we have much to tell. We have a lot to tell. In view of the indescribable Christ in the midst of this indestructible church, we have much to witness of. We have much to talk about. You can tell about how Jesus Christ changed you at the altar of God. You can tell about the times that He's come your way to help you through a mist of such things that you had no idea what to do or how you needed it. You were afraid. You were fearful. You were dying. And yet He came along and He said, hey, come on, baby. Come on, darling. Come on, son. Come on, buddy. Let's go. Let's get up. Let's get this taken care of. I'll fight for you. I'm possessing you. I'm going to protect you. I've got a purpose for you. And I'm not going to let you get out of my world. Oh, my friend. Isn't that wonderful? Here's my prayer. Here's my prayer for us today. May His glory continually captivate our imagination. May we never cease to be amazed by His magnificence. May we never grow casual in His presence. Oh, God, please. May we never grow casual in His presence. May His glory continually captivate our imagination. May His glory actually empower our devotion. In a world where we are bombarded by sin and suffering on a daily basis, in a world where it is challenging to portray Christ and dangerous to proclaim Christ, make no mistake about it, our best life is not now, God.
That's right.
Listen, they can write those books all they want to. Your best life is today. Have your best life. Your best life is now. Listen, my best life is not now. If this is my best life, boy, this best life won't be any better. But here's my best life. My best life is yet to come. And so I'm preparing for that here in this life. That is when we will one day be with our King, when he splits the eastern sky and he returns for his people. But in the meantime, here, we're going to share in his sufferings and we're going to endure with patience. We're going to know that we have a purpose. And that purpose is to gather and scatter. And we're to make his gracious glory known to the ends of the earth, no matter what it costs us. You are to be witnesses to the ends of the world. The church sits on the corner to be a beacon of light to the world. We replaced that steeple a few years ago. And that's one of the things that I couldn't handle a dirty, nasty steeple, a stained steeple that we couldn't clean. That's why we bought a new one. That's why we put it up there. And you know what another reason is? It's because people drive by here. They look at the new building. And if they're looking up at the steeple, they're looking up at the skies. And I want them to see Jesus. When you and I walk down the street, I want them to look up and see Jesus. Or maybe down. You know, depending on how tall they are. I want them to see Jesus. When I hand over my money to the clerk, I want her to see and feel Jesus. When I speak, I want them to hear Jesus. I want his glory to continually captivate my imagination. I want his grace to supernaturally empower my devotion. I want his gospel in my life to radically compel others to be on mission for Jesus Christ until he comes back. And until we see the indescribable Christ of Revelation chapter 1 face to face as a church from every nation, from every tribe, from every tongue, I want us to show the indestructible church. I want us to show the indescribable Christ that's delivered his indestructible church to the Father. One day he's going to do that. We will have to say, as Paul said, I have fought the good fight.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
I have fought the good fight.
Mm-hmm.
I have finished the race.
Yep.
Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all of you who have longed for his appearing. Mm-hmm. Are you longing?
Yes.
Are you longing for his appearing? You see, there we'll see the one who loved us enough to give us life. There we'll see the one who has possessed us, the one who has protected us, the one who has purposed us. There we will see the one who was willing to die for us so that we might have life, life eternal. And there we'll stand in the presence of the Son of God as he points to the Father and he says, there is your Father. He has adopted you because of me, because of my blood, my prince. You see those prints? I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe they're covered up. Maybe they're just scars. But I'm still seeing prints, nail prints. Nail prints in his hands. Nail prints in his feet. Even a tear in his side that's still there. Because you see, that's my Jesus. And my Jesus is pointing to my Father. And I'm going to hear my Father say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful grace, and the things of earth will grow strangely in the light.